Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad to be with you again as we continue on a message I've entitled A New Heart. And on yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at some passages from Psalm 95, and we were talking about that God makes a distinction between a stony heart and a heart of flesh. There was a reference I shared with you in Ezekiel 36:26. He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh." This is referencing, of course, the new covenant that was established through the blood of Jesus. Now, a hard heart is an unrenewed heart. Its heart is not easily penetrated. It's lacking in responsiveness, not easily yielding to pressure. And of course, we know the unredeemed, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he receive them. They're spiritually discerned. His heart is hardened by sin. But when we begin to seek the Lord and are hungry for Him and invite Him to become Lord and Savior in our lives, God does a transforming work. He not only gives us a new mind, for we have the mind of Christ, but He gives us a heart of flesh, a tender heart that is sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Have you found that to be true? The longer you serve the Lord, if you do something, your conscience starts bothering you. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. And it behooves us, it's well to stay so close to Him so we can repent of that and say, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for that." Because God is bringing His people in this hour. We're living in the end times. We don't know how much time we have left. And by the signs of the times, they're not good. The return of the Lord is very close. So we have a responsibility as the body of Christ, not only to preach the gospel, but to make sure our garments are without spot, stain, or wrinkle, because He's coming for a bride that is that way, utterly beautiful before Him. And so we closed yesterday's broadcast. We looked at 1 Samuel 24:5, where we saw that David's heart was a tender heart. He was after God's heart. And his heart smote him, it says in 1 Samuel 24:5, when he actually cut off Saul's skirt. He could have killed him. But he realized he was honoring the anointing that God had placed on Saul's life. The fact that Saul dismally disobeyed the Lord and was a failure, that he was going to let God deal with him. And we have a lesson to learn from David, don't we? Those that have fallen, those that are not walking right before the Lord, it's not our job to kill them with our tongue. Judgment is the Lord's, and He will deal with His servant. Paul says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" So let's leave the judgment to God. If God would move on us to encourage, to exhort, that's one thing. We need to obey Him. We don't just isolate someone who's gone off into rebellion and sin. We humbly try to entreat them back to serve the Lord as His, you know, where His hands extended, His love extended. But we must leave judgment to the Lord. And then let me give another example of a renewed and tender heart found, and this is still under the old covenant, in 2 Kings, because God always had His people, right, who loved Him, 22:19. And Huldah the prophetess spoke to Josiah, king of Judah, and he was one of the few righteous kings who tried to bring reform and revival to the people. he did make a valiant effort, but because there was so much iniquity, after he was gone, they just returned to their ways. And of course, judgment then came upon the people of Judah, as well as the people of Israel. But the prophetess Huldah said to Josiah, "Give this word to him, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." And basically the message was his eyes would not see all the evil which God would bring upon the land and the people of the land. Now, going back to Psalm 95, the Lord is speaking toward the conclusion of that psalm, and in verse 8, the word says, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." He was referring to the many times Israel tested the Lord, tried the Lord, 10 times, it says, in the wilderness. Verse 9 says, "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Beloved, it becomes a very serious thing when we begin to tempt and test the Lord. And I'm going to be sharing with you a greater understanding of what that actually means. We know that there were many hard times that Israel went through, but even though God was trying to show them, he had revealed incredible miracles, the 10 plagues in Egypt. He had shown his mighty power. What people has ever walked across a sea having it part so they could walk dry shod across it and through it? You know, they saw amazing miracles. God was a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He led them. He fed them with manna. He gave them water out of the rock. And yet they still complained. They still lusted after Egypt in their heart. And we see in the New Testament, remember when Jesus had been on that fast of 40 days, the devil came to tempt him. And in Matthew 4:7, Jesus declared, again, he was speaking, he used scripture as we should do against the devil. And he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He used actual scripture to speak to the fact that it was a grievous thing not to tempt the Lord, and that word means trial. You should not test God. Now that word tempt is from the Hebrew, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Naca. It's N-A-C-A-H, and that word that is used for tempt actually means to test or to try, to prove, to assay. The idea of testing is actually a way of ensuring the quality of someone or something through a demonstration of stress. They use stress tests on metals to perfect them into the state or condition, steel, tempered steel. They do the various things needed in a physical way, but God also will test someone through stress that's put upon their lives, and we can relate to that in battles. In fact, it says in the Word that God tested the children of Israel to see what was in their heart, to see whether or not they would serve him or no. And in the 1611 King James Version, the translation tempt means to test. And you know, when we hear the word tempt, we're just familiar with the current meaning, which is to entice to do wrong. You know, the devil's tempting you to sin. We're led astray by the lusts of our flesh. We're tempted by the lust. We're enticed to do evil, enticed to do wrong. That's what we think of when we hear the word tempt, but it actually means test. Now, in Exodus, the 17th chapter, there's an example of this going on where the children of Israel were certainly testing the Lord. In Exodus 17, 1 through 7, let me read that. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and say, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? They were testing the Lord. Is the Lord among us or not? And we see that this was a time in which God was seeing, would they trust him? Would they rely on him to work in their behalf? Well, I have more scriptures I want to share with you, but my time is coming close to a conclusion. As I promised, I said it has been such a long time since, I've shared testimonies. I always give just a brief, if you need prayer, please jot down our contact information. But beloved, if you are blessed by the broadcast, I would suspect that you would be blessed by the ministry of correspondence. I send out monthly letters. I don't beg for finances. I don't mention finances in my letters. They are sent out to encourage and bless God's people. And one brother writing from Hayward says, Dear Judah, thank you for all your letters, especially the last personal one. I answer every letter personally. The Lord is giving you great insight into a variety of things that are very important and can be used to bring us closer to God. I'm so grateful to you for using your giftedness to help me and the UCM family. And then a sister writing from Mountain View, thank you for the good message you wrote this month. It helped me so much because it was what the Spirit was leading me to believe in, and you confirm this word. I do pray daily for you and for all the Christians in other countries who are on the front lines of the battle. God bless you always. Thank you for your prayers. A sister writing from Mountain View. Well, I have a whole stack more, but that's it for today. I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll just continue this message. I love you. God bless you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,